Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving headfirst into something that feels like this huge opportunity, but also, let's be honest, maybe a bit like walking a tightrope. Expanding your business internationally.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing, right? Reaching customers everywhere. But then, bam, you hit cross-border shipping.
Right.
And suddenly it feels like you're lost in this, I don't know, dense jungle of customs rules, trying to make sure things arrive on time. It can get overwhelming fast.
It really can. And well, that's exactly what we want to tackle in this deep dive. Our mission here is simple. Let's demystify it. Let's simplify everything you really need to know about cross-border shipping. We want to help you, our listener, feel confident about taking your business global. Think of this as, I guess, your shortcut to getting properly informed.
Exactly. And we're not just, you know, pulling this out of thin air. This whole discussion is based on a really comprehensive guide about cross-border shipping. We've basically mined it for the absolute key bits of info and maybe some surprising insights, too, just for you. So let's get into it. Okay, when I think international expansion, my first thought is always like mountains of paperwork. But what about the other stuff, the less obvious moving parts that businesses might miss until, well, it's causing a problem?
That's a really good place to start, actually, because getting a handle on those parts early is absolutely crucial if you want to avoid some pretty costly mistakes down the line. I'd say there are three main pillars you absolutely have to master. First, nailing your documentation. Second, really understanding customs and duties. And third, just being aware of the international trade rules. They're all connected, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A slip up in one area can easily cause a whole chain reaction of problems for your shipment.
Okay, three pillars. Documentation, customs, trade rules. Let's take that first one, documentation. I like the analogy you used before, thinking of them like passports for your product.
Yeah, exactly.
Without the right ones, they aren't going anywhere, right? So using that passport idea, what's the most common reason a product gets, like, it's visa denied at the border because of paperwork mistakes?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, the passport analogy works well. So the critical documents,
yeah,
there are usually three main ones.
Yeah.
And the most common error, honestly, it's often incomplete or just plain inaccurate info on the commercial invoice, that document. It's arguably the single most important piece of paper in your whole shipping toolkit. It needs a detailed description of the goods, their value, the HS code, we'll talk more about that, and where they came from, the country of origin. Customs officials, they lean heavily on that invoice to figure out the duties and taxes. Any little thing missing or wrong, it's like a big red flag waving, saying, delay this shipment.
Okay, so the commercial invoice is number one. What else is in that essential paperwork pile?
All right, so second is the bill of lading. People often just call it the BOL. Think of this as the legal contract between you, the shipper, and the carrier moving your stuff. It lists all the key details, what kind of goods, how much, where they're headed. If you're shipping by truck, you always need a BOL. It's basically your proof you handed the goods over and agreed on the terms.
Got it. BOL. And the third one?
The third key one is the certificate of origin. This little document officially certifies the country where your goods were actually manufactured. Now, why does that matter? Well, it's absolutely vital if you want to take advantage of any free trade agreements, things like, you know, CUSMA between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. Having that certificate can sometimes mean you pay lower duties or maybe even no duties at all. That's a pretty big competitive edge,
mm-hmm.
right?
Definitely. Okay, so we've got our passport sorted, commercial invoice, BOL, certificate of origin. We know where the common mistakes happen. Now, let's tackle what feels like the really big hurdle, the one where you really need to be precise. Customs and duties. What's the biggest misunderstanding you see businesses have about customs clearance? And maybe what's the very first thing they should be focusing on to prepare?
Yeah, customs.
Yeah.
It definitely feels daunting. The biggest misconception, probably that it's all on the carrier or the customs broker you hire. I mean, yes, they help a lot. But ultimately, the responsibility for providing accurate information, that falls squarely on you, the shipper. And the very first thing to wrap your head around, it has to be the harmonized system codes or HS codes.
HS codes.
Right. Yeah. It's this standardized number system used globally to classify every type of product imaginable. Customs authorities everywhere use these codes to identify goods and figure out the duties and taxes. Getting this code wrong isn't just like a small typo. It can lead to some serious fines, shipments getting stuck for ages, or worst case, your stuff getting seized. So getting that HS code right, it's paramount. You really need precision there.
Where do you even find these codes?
Good question. There are official resources, like the Government of the Canada website has a tool. The U.S. International Trade Commission has an HTS search. You can usually find them through government trade sites.
Okay, so HS codes first, then what?
Then you've got the duties and taxes themselves. These are basically the fees the government of the destination country charges for importing goods.
Yeah.
How much you pay depends on, well, the value of your goods, that HS code we just talked about, and whether any trade agreements apply. It can get complicated fast, which is why customs brokers can be, frankly, invaluable.
Right, brokers. I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're licensed pros. They act as your agent, dealing with customs on your behalf. They help with the paperwork, calculate the duties, everything. Especially if you're doing complex shipments or you're just, you know, new to the whole international game, they can be a lifesaver.
What should you look for in a broker?
Good question. Definitely look for someone with experience in your industry, if possible. They should know the market you're shipping to, obviously. And good customer service is key. You want someone responsive. Oh, and just quickly, don't confuse them with freight forwarders. Brokers handle customs clearance. Forwarders arrange the actual transportation. Although, many companies do both these days.
Okay, that clarifies things. Now, something else you mentioned, de minimis thresholds. When I first heard about that, it felt like finding some kind of, I don't know, secret advantage. For our listeners, shipping smaller, maybe lower value items, can you break down what this actually means for their costs? Because it sounds like it could be a real game changer.
Oh, it absolutely is a game changer, particularly for e-commerce businesses, yeah. The de minimis threshold, it's basically a value limit set by a country. If the declared value of your shipment is below that threshold, your goods can often enter the country without you or your customer having to pay any duties and sometimes even taxes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. So understanding these thresholds isn't just about avoiding fees. For a lot of small businesses, if you can price things right or maybe bundle low-value items strategically, you might be able to completely bypass those import costs. It makes selling internationally way more competitive. It's a real strategic lever you can pull.
Are these thresholds roughly the same everywhere?
Not at all.
Yeah.
That's the tricky part. They vary wildly. For example, the U.S. has a really high threshold, $800 USD for duties. That makes it super attractive for selling lower priced goods there. But then you look at Canada, and it's much lower currently, $150 CAD for duties and only $40 CAD before sales taxes kick in. Huge difference. Let's see. The European Union is 150 euro for duties, but importantly, VAT, their sales tax, applies to pretty much everything, regardless of value. The UK is similar, 135 GBP for duties, VAT on everything. Australia is quite generous, $5,000 AUD before duties and taxes apply. Mexico is lower, $50 USD. Japan, 10,000 JPY. China is really low, 50 CNY for duties, zero for taxes. The key takeaway, you have to know the specific rules for your target market. Don't assume anything. And really important, these values can and do change. So always, always double check with the destination country's official customs authority or your customs broker. We can definitely link to a resource with more details in the show notes.
That's a ton of crucial detail there. It really hammers home that before you even think about boxing up that first international order, it's ultimately your job as the shipper to get all the documents and compliance stuff right. So knowing that, what are some key questions you absolutely need to ask yourself? The kind of questions that could, you know, make or break that first shipment and help avoid those annoying customs delays or surprise charges.
It's exactly. Being proactive is everything here. Okay, first question. Do you know all your product details? And I mean precisely. Customs needs specifics. You need a super detailed description of each item. You need to know the correct country of origin. Where was it actually made? Canada, the US, Mexico, somewhere else. And back to our friend, the HS code, you need the right code for every single item. Any vagueness here, that's just asking for trouble and delays while they try to figure it out.
Okay. Know your products inside out. What's next?
Second, are your shipping documents actually in order? We talked about the commercial invoice being the cornerstone. Even if you use, say, a shipping platform that helps generate these documents for you, you still need to understand what's required. Does it have the full description, the correct declared value, the country of origin, the HS code? Double check everything. Triple check it. Because remember, at the end of the day, it's your neck on the line if it's wrong.
Right. Review, review, review. Got it. Third question.
Third. Do your products qualify for duty exemption? This is huge if you're shipping within North America. Think about COSMA, the Canada-United States-Mexico Agreement, or USMCA, as it's known in the States. Could your goods qualify for duty-free entry? There are basically two ways. Either they were entirely made in North America, or if they used materials from elsewhere, they went through enough manufacturing or transformation within North America to meet the CSMA rules of origin. If they do qualify, you need to complete a COSMA certificate of origin. It's extra paperwork, yes, but it can lead to major savings on duties. Big savings. You can find info and templates on government sites like the Canada Trade Commission or CBSA.
Okay, CUSMA, USMCA, check for that. What else?
Number four, and this is critical for your customer and your wallet, who will pay the duties and taxes?
Yes, the big question. This seems like a decision that really hits both the customer experience and your bottom line, doesn't it? How does this choice actually work in practice?
It absolutely does. So the default setting usually is that the duties and taxes get billed to the person receiving the shipment, your customer. Now, if you go this route, you absolutely, positively must make sure your customer knows this up front before they even click buy. Put it clearly on your website at checkout.
Because otherwise...
Otherwise, picture this. The package arrives. The carrier demands an unexpected payment for duties and taxes. The customer is surprised and annoyed. And maybe they refuse the package. Guess who the carrier comes after for those unpaid fees then?
You, the shipper.
Exactly. You. So the alternative is to ship DDP, which stands for Delivered Duty Paid. If you choose DDP, you, the shipper, agree to take full responsibility for paying all those import charges. It often makes for a much smoother, happier experience for your customer because there are no surprise costs on delivery. But beware, those DDP charges might show up on a separate invoice to you from the carrier, sometimes even after the delivery is complete.
So you need to account for that cost.
You absolutely need to account for it in your pricing or margins. Whichever way you go, BDP or receiver pays, the key is crystal clear communication on your website. No surprises.
Makes sense. Is there a final question?
Yes, one more, focused on your logistics. What is your shipping profile? Basically, understand your own shipping patterns. How often will you actually be shipping cross-border? Are your customers mostly other businesses, B2B, or individual consumers, B2C, or a mix? Knowing this helps you pick the right carriers and the right service levels for each shipment. Are you optimizing for speed, for cost, for reliability? Your profile guides those choices.
Okay, that's a great checklist. Know your product details, check your documents, look into duty exemptions like CUSMA, decide who pays duties, and understand your shipping profile. Now, zooming out a bit, it's clear international trade isn't just about those core documents and duties. It's governed by this whole complex web of rules and regulations. Beyond what we've covered, what are some other specific rules or like common traps that businesses often stumble over?
You're right, there's more to it. Two areas often catch new international shippers off guard. First, Incoterms.
Incoterms? Sounds technical.
They are a bit technical, yeah. Incoterms stands for International Commercial Terms. They're basically a set of 11 internationally recognized rules that very precisely define who the buyer or the seller is responsible for what during the shipping process, like who pays for the shipping, who manages it, who handles insurance, documentation, customs clearance, and crucially, at what point does the responsibility transfer from seller to buyer?
Why is picking the right one so important?
Because picking the wrong Incoterm or not defining one at all in your sales contract isn't just a minor oversight. It can lead to huge arguments later. Who pays if the shipment gets lost or damaged? Who's on the hook for unexpected storage fees or customs fines? Using the right Incoterm avoids all that ambiguity and potential dispute. For e-commerce, you often see DAP delivered at place or DDP delivered duty paid, which we already mentioned. They're popular because they clearly state the seller handles things up to a certain point, making it clear for the customer.
Okay, Incoterms. Define responsibilities clearly. What's the second area?
The second big one is restricted and prohibited items. This sounds obvious, but you'd be surprised. Every single country has its own specific list of things you absolutely cannot import or things that have heavy restrictions and require special permits. Trying to ship these items, you could face serious penalties. We're talking hefty fines, your goods being seized and destroyed, or in some cases, even criminal charges.
Wow. What kind of items are typically on these lists?
Well, the common ones are things like alcohol, tobacco, firearms and weapons, flammable or hazardous materials, perishable foods, live animals, counterfeit goods.
Oh,
and narcotics, obviously. Yeah. But sometimes it's less obvious things. I remember a client, they shipped some beautiful artisanal candles they made. Seemed harmless, right? Turns out certain types of waxes were restricted in the country they shipped to. Small detail, big problem.
So the lesson is?
The lesson is, always check the specific prohibited and restricted items list for your destination country before you ship anything.
Yeah.
Don't assume. Check the official government or customs website for that country.
Absolutely. Sounds like doing your homework there is just as vital as knowing your customer market. It's almost like you have to be a bit of a detective for your own products. Mm-hmm. And speaking of the customer, especially for our e-commerce listeners, let's shift focus. how does cross-border shipping move beyond just being a logistical puzzle and become like a really critical part of the whole customer experience?
Well, it's totally fundamental, a smooth, transparent shipping process. Mm-hmm. It's not just about getting the package there. It actively builds trust with your customer. It makes them feel secure buying from you even though you're in a different country. And that trust, that's what brings them back for repeat business. It really starts with communication. You need to clearly, explicitly communicate your shipping policy right there on your website. How much does it cost? What are the estimated delivery times being realistic here? And what about potential duties or taxes the customer might face? Spell it out.
Transparency is key.
Absolutely. Transparency is huge. It nips miscommunications in the bud. And then there are tools that help. Things like showing real-time shipping rates right at checkout so the customer sees the actual cost, or providing advanced tracking information so they can see where their package is. These things provide clarity and, honestly, can make customers feel more comfortable buying internationally from you. It incentivizes that growth.
Okay, so clear communication, good tools, but what about when things go wrong or the customer changes their mind? International returns. That sounds like it could be a massive headache.
It definitely can be a major headache, no doubt about it. International returns are inherently more complex than domestic ones. But here's the thing. Returns are inevitable in e-commerce. So instead of just seeing it as a problem, think about how a clear, convenient returns policy can actually be a powerful differentiator for your business. Well, if your returns policy is easy to find on your site, easy to understand, use simple language, be upfront about any costs or rules, it reduces the perceived risk for the customer. Maybe you can offer multiple return options. Perhaps partner with a service that provides local drop-off points in your key international markets. That makes it way easier for the customer. And be crystal clear about who covers return shipping costs and what happens with any duties or taxes paid on the original shipment if it's returned. A good, fair returns policy, even though it might seem like just a cost center, can seriously boost your conversion rates because it gives buyers confidence.
That's a great perspective, turning a potential negative into a positive trust builder. Okay, so we've unpacked a lot of complexity here, documents, codes, rules, customs, customer experience. It's a lot to manage. How can businesses, especially smaller ones maybe, get the right tools and support so they don't have to become, you know, full-blown customs experts overnight just to sell abroad?
Yeah, exactly. You don't spend all your time deciphering customs law instead of growing your business.
Right.
That's really where using a comprehensive shipping platform can be, well, a total game changer. Take a solution like Freightcom, for instance. Platforms like that are specifically designed to simplify this whole cross-border process.
How do they do that?
Well, typically, through one single platform, often web-based and easy to use, you can get access to discounted shipping rates from a whole range of trusted carriers comparing options easily. They help streamline your entire fulfillment process. They often have powerful integrations with e-commerce platforms, like maybe an API that pulls those real-time shipping rates directly into your checkout. And importantly, they usually offer expert support. You might get a dedicated account manager, someone you can actually call or email who understands this stuff and can guide you through those trickier bits we've been talking about. It's about leveraging their technology and their expertise to cut down the complexity on your end.
So it brings everything together in one place and provides backup.
Exactly. It helps manage the complexity so you can focus on the opportunity.
It really seems clear that, yeah, cross-border shipping is intricate, no doubt about it. But with the right knowledge, the right preparation, and maybe the right tools, it can be incredibly rewarding. It really does open up the whole world as your potential market.
Without a doubt. It's a big step, but a manageable one. And, you know, just to circle back on that returns point, while international returns might seem like just a major headache or an unavoidable cost at first glance, remember this, if you prepare properly, if you craft a really well thought out, customer-friendly returns policy, it can actually become a powerful tool. A tool to boost your conversions, build loyalty, and enhance customer retention, especially as you strategically push beyond your home market. It's worth investing time in.
What a deep dive. Hopefully, you now feel like you've got a much better handle on those critical pieces. Mm-hmm. Getting your documentation right, mastering the basics of customs and HS codes, and navigating those international trade rules. Think about how these insights might apply to your own business, or maybe just fuel your curiosity about how this massive global marketplace actually functions, getting products from, well, anywhere to everywhere. Thanks for joining us.